Man, those brakes, they sounded like the Mad Tea Party ones.
Oh, backseat drivers, huh?
How is this even happening? We're inside.
Oh, wow. I feel like a new bike.
Yes, perfect.
If he speaks, we have to pay more. We have a very special treat for you now. A good friend of the show, former Imagineer Jim Scholl is here. Jim, it's good to see you again.
It's good to be seen.
He dropped the shaker.
You sure we're going the right way? That sign says Thailand over there. News Today with WDW News Today. I'm Tom Corliss of WDWNT.com. Please like this video, subscribe, and hit the notifications bell to make sure you never miss the latest from the Disney theme parks around the world. Here now the news for March 13th, 2023. For more than a year, Christopher and Hannah Martin, creators of the Sparkling Dreamers site selling homemade Disney ear headbands, have been embattled in a legal dispute with the Walt Disney Company over their merchandise featuring Disney characters and properties. Now, as litigation continues, one of them was unceremoniously removed from Walt Disney World property over the weekend by security cast members and asked never to return. Christopher Martin was escorted out of the Magic Kingdom by Orange County deputies as well as Disney security, posting an Instagram reel where he's flanked by all of those. He claimed later on an 18-minute Facebook live stream from the taxi escorting him off property that the reason given to him was something about annual pass violations. According to Gabrielle Rusin on Florida Politics, the Martins sold hundreds or even thousands of unauthorized Disney merchandise items through their secret Disney group on Facebook, later retitled Sparkling Dreamers. After gaining more than 35,000 followers, Disney sent a cease and desist notice in December of 2021, stating they wanted to avoid full-scale litigation in exchange for shutting down their unauthorized operations. The company claims the couple instead, quote, made superficial changes to their business and continued selling counterfeit items. Additionally, the couple later attempted to trademark the name Sparkling Dreamers, with Disney stating their logo was, quote, evoking Disneyland's iconic park entrance. Martin posted a TikTok in late January detailing his 700-page complaint from Disney related to his merchandise business. In the complaint, Disney states the couple, quote, has not only ignored plaintiff's demands to surrender any and all infringing merchandise within its possession, but it has used sales promotions to sell as many infringing products as quickly as possible, including as recently as November 2022. Martin says he will be in contact with his attorney over the trespass from Walt Disney World property, as well as the continuing litigation, and intends to visit Disneyland Resort next week. As of press, their website is still active and accepting orders despite the ongoing legal battle. So we posted this story over the weekend, and there's been a lot of interesting comments, a lot more people that are way more involved and more knowledgeable in what's been going on following this group's activity the last couple of months and years than I am. And it's fascinating stuff. Apparently they were resellers at one point, which is how they could revoke your annual pass if they feel like you're buying specifically with the intent of reselling certain merchandise. They can certainly trespass you for that. Obviously, also selling counterfeit merchandise. I mean, it's private property. They could kind of trespass you for whatever, anything they feel. And people need to remember that. Sometimes I know Disney in the past has misused that ability, and that's all I'll say about that for now. I know those from the Walt Disney Company that are watching probably know what I'm talking about on my end. but nonetheless, this is really, I mean, the Walt Disney Company is a major company. If they send you legal documents, it's probably best to comply with those unless you feel like you have a really good case. And if you're selling counterfeit merchandise, reselling merchandise, or anything of that sort, you're never going to have a case to stand on. It's probably best to just do what they ask and not try to, like, you know, skirt around it. They're watching you at that point. They know what you're doing. You best comply, but that part. But I'll be surprised if they get let into Disneyland, because this is not a Walt Disney World specific problem. If they're selling counterfeit merchandise, they're selling that on the internet, they're selling that worldwide. That would not be a solely Walt Disney World Resort problem, but the resorts are different management, right? I don't know if Disney World decided to do this or if this came down from corporate that they're like, you should, this person should not be in the parks anymore or whatever the case may be. We'll see if they get into Disneyland. It'll be interesting to see if that makes a difference. During their South by Southwest presentation, Disney Parks shared a look at a new type of dynamic robot that could be used for future shows in the Disney parks with small characters. The robot was introduced after a demonstration of the larger-than-life Hulk character created thanks to Project EXO, which we've seen before. The new robot will be able to fall down, get back up, and even do a somersault. And just a few feet tall and with bunny ears, it looks like the robot will eventually become Judy Hopps, which could appear in Shanghai Disneyland's Zootopia Land when that opens supposedly later this year. We don't have an update on that at this time, but nonetheless, also, of course, a Zootopia Land has been teased for Walt Disney World, for Animal Kingdom, and its blue sky phase, but that could very well be a real project. TechCrunch's Panzer shared a video of the robot in action as it roller skated around the stage, and Disney shared a close-up video on Instagram as well. The robot was developed by R&D Imagineers Tony Doughy and Morgan Pope, who also made the Spider-Man Stuntronic that's used in Avengers Campus at Disneyland Resort. During the Disney Parks presentation as well, they also had Josh D'Amaro bring out the tiny Tinkerbell that was playtested back in 2021, suggesting it may still debut at the Disney Parks. Disney describes the Tinkerbell technology as a blue sky concept that lets fans have a real-time conversation with a pixie-sized Tinkerbell. And using special technology, Tinkerbell can interact with you like never before. The tiny Tinkerbell meet and greet was playtested during A Touch of Disney, which was an event at Disney California Adventure before the parks reopened in 2021. During the playtest, the life-size Tinkerbell seemed to appear in her lantern and then fly around the room. And she landed in a device of her own invention that allowed her voice to be amplified so the guests could hear her. And she was fully interactive and addressed the children by name. And many projections are utilized, including writing in a book and butterflies flying around the room, all sorts of fun stuff. And after the playtest, there was no further announcement regarding this technology, but now we've seen it shown in public again, which probably means it's coming. My theory, I have no inside information. I don't know anything. The Tinkerbell meet and greet in Town Square Theater at Magic Kingdom has remained closed. That's an interior space where you could have a controlled environment with lighting and such. My theory is that's where it's going to end up, but we don't know that for sure. But it's awfully suspicious that that is one of the few meet and greet experiences that still hasn't returned yet and that this is floating around. So I think it's coming. Speaking of the Hulk and Project XO, it was also announced that that will be making another theme park appearance now. It'll be making a two-week appearance at another Avengers campus, this time in Walt Disney Studios Park at Disneyland Paris. The limited-time meet-and-greet took place at Avengers Campus in California Adventure last fall. He appeared in his quantum suit from Avengers Endgame. The suit also covered his mouth as not to reveal his face while communicating, and he had several pre-recorded phrases. You can see a video of that test right here on our YouTube channel. But it's pretty exciting, even if it is for 2 weeks, that he's coming to Disneyland Paris. YouTube channel One Little Spark shared a live stream video of Happily Ever After fireworks testing last week at the Magic Kingdom. And Jessica and Lewis of One Little Spark viewed the testing from Disney's Contemporary Resort and synced up audio from the previous version of the show. The full show with fireworks begins about 2 hours and 29 minutes into the stream. And although Disney implied the show would be significantly updated, nothing seems different apart from the new projections on Main Street USA. So for those that don't remember, they were very careful with their wording when they announced this, both at Expo and since then, where they said the theme song is coming back in a new show, essentially. But based on this test, everything to us looked pretty much the same, with the exception of there being Main Street projections, which I have no problem with. Happily is a fantastic show. It doesn't need to be updated. It doesn't need to be changed. It's had a relatively short run from, 2017 to 2021 at Magic Kingdom. And let's not forget that it missed over a year of that due to COVID. So this show is still fresh and new, and I dare say does not need to be touched for quite some time. So I'm happy to hear that it'll be mostly the same. Of course, Happily Ever After will officially return on April 3rd, but I have heard that we may have a video of the new Happily Ever After for you to enjoy on Tuesday evening, because we are actually attending a cast preview of the show on March 14th. So stay tuned for that. We'll have I think we'll actually have two videos. We'll have one of just from the hub with the castle and fireworks, and another with those new Main Street projections for you to enjoy. So stay tuned for that coming up on late Tuesday evening. Guests visiting Tron Light Cycle Run at the Magic Kingdom for previews this week were the first to see the newly opened Team Green post show. Tron Light Cycle Run riders walked through the Hall of Opponents, featuring racers from Team Yellow, Team Red, and Team Orange in the queue. And riders become part of Team Blue and compete against Team Orange during the events of the attraction. But after the ride, guests can learn about the new racing team, Team Green, in the post-show sponsored by Enterprise Rent-A-Car. The Enterprise room is lit with green lights, and the Team Green light cycle is at the center. An image of the light cycle in action is against the back wall. There's also some benches, and there's signs around the room displaying images and information about Team Green's members. Here's Nexus, the innovation director. The displays will be switched out periodically to feature other stories of the 12 Team Green members. I'm sure guests will be clamoring to return to read these little placards about characters they'll never see or know. Sorry, that was mean, but that's just kind of how I feel about this thing. The Enterprise logo is also lit up green on the walls. Another Team Green member is Rom, a customer experience architect. The display aims to showcase the incredible culture, capabilities, and values of Enterprise. The third member currently featured is Modus, the Chief Mobility Officer. All 12 members of Team Green are displayed in the frame you're looking at now. And in these frames, there are a number of references to the Tron universe, including repeated references to MK2, which was an internal project name for Tron Light Cycle Run. This is fascinating because you might be asking, why is that MK2? Well, if you look back at the permits and stuff, I gotta take you way back in time. I'm gonna take you way back in time to the D23 Expo 2017, and we'll ignore the fact that WWT announced everything that was announced at that expo in advance. But at that event, they announced two Magic Kingdom additions. They announced Tron. They also announced a Main Street theater that was never built. And if you look at the permitting that from around that time, it shows both projects. They're kind of coinciding as one project, in fact, including all of that berm work and retention pond work they did along the railroad tracks toward the exterior of the park. It was all one project. And so MK1 was the Main Street theater, and MK2 was Tron, and I think it's kind of cool that that's referenced here. There's also a 782. It's a reference to the release of the original Tron back in July of 1982. Tron Light Cycle Run will officially open to guests on April 4th, 2023. Annual pass holder previews and DVC and D23 are still ongoing at this time. This program is brought to you by our official travel agent sponsor, The Vacationeer, the engineers of your next magical vacation. Sit back and let their team of vacation planning experts craft your family's next magical Disney trip. The best part is their services are free. Visit wdwnt.travel for details. Speaking of Tron Light Cycle Run, we now have more details on the snack stand that is just outside of that location. They've shared the name of it. It's called Energy Bites, B-Y-T-E-S. It'll be that kiosk, again, just outside the main entrance to the attraction. It'll serve breakfast bites, savory snacks, sweet treats, and beverages. Whether you're going to ride Tron Light Cycle Run or just need a jump start to your morning, there's chocolate and caffeine that will be the way to go. Featured Energy Bites will be chocolate cake donut holes drizzled with mocha sauce and a new drink to try from Joffrey's Coffee. The Joffrey's Cold Brew Coffee comes with a decadent mocha sauce, a topping, and this ice drink strikes the right balance between the strong coffee taste and subtle touch of sweetness. In addition to sweet treats, Energy Bites is expanding its menu to include some savory options, which include two novel dumpling combinations. The first option caters to spice enthusiasts who relish the flavor of buffalo chicken. Soon you'll be able to get the Digital Dumplings Buffalo Chicken, which is comprised of chicken dumplings, blue cheese powder, and a fiery cayenne pepper broth that melds harmoniously together. For those that love the classic Chinese taste of beef and broccoli, Energy Bites will have Digital Dumplings Beef and Broccoli. The dish features beef dumplings, broccoli pesto, and a zesty ginger soy broth that is sure to delight your taste buds. And for those looking for something a little sweet, a sweet pick-me-up, if you will, Energy Bites has you covered, too, with the strawberry isofoam. It's the ultimate refreshing treat with the sweetness of the strawberry ice cream mochi, graham crackers, and even a little bit of cheesecake foam to finish it off. That sounds pretty darn good. Last but certainly not least, they've got a watermelon refresher with yuzu and ginger. This frozen sip will take you to another world with tasty flavors just a peek of what will be available. No popcorn and no popcorn bucket. I'm very sad. Also, I'm going to go on a slight rant here about Magic Kingdom food and beverage. Guys, you have a snack stand. It's outside. You're going to put things under a heat lamp. Nobody wants Americanized Asian food that's been sitting under a heat lamp. I'm sorry. I hope I'm wrong. I hope these turn out good and they're served fresh all the time. But anytime they tried to do, they did sushi and some other stuff at the Cool Ship a couple of years ago, and that did not go super well. And so I'm somewhat concerned. I think they did it at one of the after hours, at Villains After Hours, I think they did noodles. I think there was like a soba noodle dish with purple noodles at one point, and it just didn't go great. And on a side note, I'm kind of angry because you got rid of my shumai from Skipper Canteen, but clearly you can get this kind of food back again. So where's my shumai, Magic Kingdom food and beverage team? Come on. Very upset. But we'll see how this goes. I'm very surprised there's no Tron souvenir bucket or cup or anything. I'm kind of shocked that's not a thing. During a recent voyage on It's a Small World at the Magic Kingdom, we noticed the backdrop of the shimmering finale scene is nearly in ruin. The Mary Blair-style clouds are covered in white streaks and discoloring, while less prevalent staining is still visible on the purple sky. There are white streaks and dark stains, with the latter making it hard to tell where the intentional fade to black begins towards the top of the wall and where that begins and ends. It's hard to tell. Staining appears to be caused by condensation and humidity over time, but still, in the over 50-year history of this attraction, the walls have never reached this level of neglect in that scene. And honestly, It's a Small World. The Magic Kingdom has been in rough shape for quite some time. And to quote the ride's theme song, it's probably time we're aware. You can tell me how much you hate my puns in the comments. I will say this. If we want to talk about the quality of It's a Small World, I know people have said, oh, they've been going through and refreshing the lighting, and oh, they're slowly going through and painting the backdrops of each scene. This is not a full refurbishment, and it's not working. It's very much not working. The lighting throughout the ride is still mostly dim. I know, like, the biggest lighting change is the Polynesian scene, right? They did the blue wavy lights, which we won't get into the fact that that's not as originally intended, and it kind of doesn't look right. I know some people like it. That room is fine. I can live with that. There's still a lot of, like, dim lighting and poorly aimed lighting and a lot of lighting problems throughout the entirety of the attraction. Whether or not they've been going through scene by scene and painting the background, which I don't know that I necessarily believe that, because I don't feel like I'm seeing that change. Regardless, there's so many figures missing. There's so many figures broken. There's so much stuff that's just wrong. I know they redid the lighting on all the suns, and they're all real different and weird. Some of them a little jarring. The ride's just not in good shape. That and the sound system is destroyed. It's no longer. I know they did the full replacement of it in the 2004-2005 refurb. That's a long time ago, and it's clearly time for a new sound system in there too. And on top of all that, to look at this final scene again, the usual, all those light bulbs burnt out in there, and now the back wall is just fading away into oblivion. Just shows real neglect, some real maintenance problems that they still have to figure out coming out of the Chapek era. Obviously, a couple weeks ago, we talked about the boats, how dirty the boats were. And what's funny about this is we posted about this. There was a Facebook comment that said, oh, WWNT, they just like to post about things that look bad when they know they're about to be fixed. That is maybe the craziest comment. And I've been around for almost 16 years in this community. I have read some crazy made up nonsense about me and this company in that time a lot. And some that's really wild. This is one of the crazier comments I've ever read, as if we know that they're going to suddenly fix this scene in the next few weeks. Like, the boats, there was no plan to clean the boats. That was not a thing anyone was talking about. Space Mountain, we could certainly have that discussion. It is arguable as to if they were going to clean and fix up the exterior of Space Mountain. I think that may have well been scheduled before we talked about it. That's very possible. But as far as the Small World stuff and all the other maintenance stuff we talk about, that is not a game we play. If you've been following WWNT long enough, you know pretty much the moment I know about something, we'll share it on the site. And usually sometimes it's so far in advance that it either A, doesn't happen. Like, Small World was supposed to go down for refurbishment ahead of the 50th to add characters. And a lot of this work they've done, whether it's repainting the inside of the queue, the exterior refurbishment, all of these were pieces of that planned refurb that never happened. And so in the end, while they weren't doing the characters, I think they still decided we're going to carry out a number of the other fixes we were supposed to do during that project regardless. And so Small World kind of, I don't know, it's clearly in neglect, whether it was from the boats, what's going on with this backdrop, whatever. I hope people are right. I hope that this is like the next room that's planned to get painted and fixed up. That would be great. I hope that's the case. I don't know that I necessarily believe that. I wouldn't be surprised now, given how much feedback there is on this story, that it gets done. But it both could be true, right? It could be true that it looks terrible, and it could be true that they're about to fix it. But either way, it probably should have not gotten to the point where it looks like this. This is a bad show. And I can't believe how many people on Facebook or Twitter, people that just don't fundamentally do not understand the thing they love. They do not understand what the Disney parks are supposed to be, right? And this is not talking down anyone. This is not an attempt to make anyone feel bad. But very clearly, one of the most famous Walt Disney quotes includes make the place as clean as you can make it. That is one of the lines in one of the most famous Walt Disney quotes about Disneyland. And those are fundamental things that, yeah, the guy passed away many decades ago. But there are core values that do not change, right? Like sensibilities can change as far as what rides and attractions will be. And you can't always live based on just what the founder believed. But clearly those core values of a Disney park are timeless values. Cleanliness, friendliness, you know, show quality, those are timeless values that no matter how much the world changes, no matter how much sensibilities change, those are the core values that have to remain in the Disney parks till the end of time. That is, those are the core values that made the Disney company different from any other company. And they are in part the reason why you love Disney. It's a reason why I'm sitting here while you're watching this is because of those standards. And if you're going to come out and say, like, oh, I don't even notice these things when I go on the ride, but you're being too negative, then I would dare say you lack a fundamental understanding of the thing you love. These are things that are very clear to see. I think you don't give regular guests enough credit. I think they notice these things. I think people on that ride the first time does them no favors that it's a Small World. It's supposed to be this very bright and vivid, colorful attraction. Right? It's Mary Blair style. Everything's supposed to pop and just be, it's this beautiful artistic representation of our world, right? And I would dare you to ride any of the other Small Worlds around the world and look at it compared to ours. The best example of this, and I know here comes Tokyo Tom. The Tokyo version of Small World is in many cases a carbon copy of the Small World for Magic Kingdom. So when they were building Tokyo Disneyland, OLC, basically pointed between Disneyland and Disney World at what they wanted from each one. And I think what they did was, in the case of Small World, they were like, well, we like the clock facade, but we like the ride better in Florida. So could we combine those? And that's what they did. So there's a big clock facade in Tokyo, but then the interior of the ride, other than the load area, mostly identical to the Florida ride. And I will say, what I often say to people, my first trip to Japan, the first ride I went on was It's a Small World. And I get on that ride and going through, and it was like, you know, the Wizard of Oz, you start in black and white. And then when she arrives in Oz, you go into the world and it's in Technicolor. That's what it felt like going from our It's a Small World in the state it's been in the last couple of years, riding that all the time, which one of my favorite attractions of all time, mind you. Love Small World so much. I don't agree with a lot of people. People are like, oh, it's boring and it's for babies and blah, blah. That's not how I feel about It's a Small World. I feel very much the opposite. But like going from that black and white world of Kansas in Wizard of Oz into the Technicolor world of Oz is how I felt going on to that Small World in Japan. It's everything as colorful and as well lit and as maintained as it's intended to be. And you see it there, and it makes you so sad for what Walt Disney World has become, because I remember as a kid, the Walt Disney World one did look like that. It was bright and vibrant. Even back to the 05 refurb, they did a really good job. And the ride looked fantastic. And now over the almost 20 years since that refurbishment, the ride has fallen to pieces. And maybe it might be a statement on Disney World maintenance in general. Maybe the funding and the staffing over the last 20 years are certainly not there. And this was pre-COVID. We were doing maintenance reports pre-COVID, so I don't want to hear people, oh, it's hard to staff people, blah, blah, blah. We're running into these problems in 2019. So COVID cannot be blamed for this. So I hope it gets fixed. There's a lot of other, like Peter Pan, just across the way, Peter Pan has all sorts of lighting problems. There's things you can't, scenes you're supposed to see. Like, you could barely even see Peter Pan and Captain Hook fighting on top of the mast on the ship. I was like, my eye doesn't even get drawn to that because they're up here in the dark. I have no idea what's going on in here. There's curtains up against scenes, like, rubbing on them. And all the moon was cracking. The moon that has, you know, you see the silhouettes of Peter Pan and all the kids flying. They were just cracked streaks as if someone had sliced up an orange. Every couple of inches, there was just a big crack going down the side of the moon. There are some major maintenance problems at Disney World that need to be addressed. And Fantasyland, a lot of these older attractions are the biggest culprits, where they're just not, they probably need to go down for an extended period of time and be completely relit, get new audio systems, and just be repainted and spruced up. And it's vital. And I know it's going to be a problem now because you've closed Splash Mountain for a year and a half, which is a huge capacity loss for the park. No one's going to want to close Small World or Peter Pan for a couple weeks or months to do any of this. And so are we just going to ride these attractions into oblivion until, you know, January of 25? I certainly hope not. But let us know in the comments how you feel about all this. You clearly know how I feel. The Lunching Pad in Tomorrowland at the Magic Kingdom has debuted several new menu items, including a breakfast menu, including a breakfast bowl and sticky bubble bread. That's right, a restaurant called The Lunching Pad has breakfast. Breakfast menu is available daily until 10:30 a.m. The start time, we talked to a manager there. The start time is under some argument as to whether they'll be open right at park open or open around like 30 minutes later. So you may have to come back. But regardless, there's a breakfast bowl for $10.49. It's potato barrels topped with a cheese omelet, chili con carne queso, and sour cream. And the sticky bubble bread is $5.49. It's sweet bread rolled in cinnamon, caramel, and warm spices. And then for lunch, they have three new topped hot dogs available, which we believe have been were previously monthly specialty options from Casey's Corner on Main Street. But now they found a permanent home over here. There's a banh mi hot dog for $12.29. It's all beef hot dog served with pickled vegetables, sriracha mayonnaise, and cilantro served with a choice of side. Queso fundido hot dog for $12.29. It's all beef hot dog topped with queso fundido, street corn relish, and spiced tortilla strips. And then the Cuban hot dog is $12.29 as well. It's all beef hot dog topped with diced ham, pickles, Swiss fondue, and Dijonnaise. Again, those are served with Lay's potato chips or those Cuties Mandarin oranges. We do have reviews of these posted at WDWNT.com already. And tomorrow we will have a video review. I tried all five of these items and we have a video review that will go up on Tuesday for you to enjoy. Following Bonjour Village Gifts getting its makeover, the Magic Kingdom's Art of Disney location was left without a home. And so it has now moved to Town Square Theater on Main Street, USA. This is in the lobby of the theater across from Tony's Town Square restaurant. The Mr. Toad statue from the Main Street Cinema's Vault Collection display has also moved here as well. So they're not getting rid of him. He's gonna have a continued lifespan beyond the 50th, it seems. Art of Disney, of course, is the brand name used for collections of paintings, lithographs, figurines, and much more featuring Disney iconography and characters, usually on more expensive product than you'll find in the Emporium or stores like that. There are Art of Disney locations throughout Walt Disney World Resort, although there are less of them than there had been in years past. They've kind of been on the decline in recent years. Town Square Theater also has some pins and Magic Band Plus available behind the counter. This is also still the location for photo pass purchases as well. That's all still set up here. Meanwhile, steps away in the towards the back of Town Square Theater, you can still visit Curtain Call Collectibles. That store is now home for the Disney 100 Eras Collection merchandise. This brightened my day to see this space turn into like a real store again. Back in my day, in the early days of pin trading, Town Square, I almost said Town Square Theater, it used to be called Exposition Hall. This was the main pin trading store in Magic Kingdom. And then it moved to Uptown Jewelers, and then it moved to where it is now, Frontierland Trading Post. But I'm very happy to have a store that I'm happy to shop in every visit to the park in there again, because I don't know, I get some nostalgia shopping in that space. But it's a good, I think it's a good home for it. I hope they get some signage. I think they definitely need signage outside because people are not understanding that it's there. So I hope they get that eventually. Two new decorative flats have been added to the roof line of Roundup Rodeo Barbecue in Toy Story Land at Hollywood Studios. The flats are rounded on top and look like they were cut from cardboard by Andy himself. They have blue backgrounds, a blue sky. One features Stinky Pete from Toy Story 2, while the other features Buttercup. They add to the Roundup Rodeo facade, which resembles a cardboard box that Andy has colored with crayons. The flats deviate heavily from the concept art, which featured Buttercup on the facade of the building above the entryway and three flags on top. But now we have these two giant pieces, which it turns out were used. Someone was upset that you could see the remnants of the animation building that's still back there, those offices. You could see that sort of as you come through Toy Story Land from the back, you could see over the building towards that. So they put this in place. You can still see the top of that building despite this. I don't use this term often, but lipstick on a pig comes to mind with this project. This is one ugly facade. Am I in the minority? Do people think this is cute? I don't know. Let me know in the comments. But it's deals getting worse all the time. Roundup Rodeo Barbecue will open on March 23rd. We'll be their opening day to bring you a review. Reservations are now available with pricing at $45 per adult, $25 per child for both lunch and dinner. The first refurbished Disney Vacation Club Boulder Ridge Villas have opened at Wilderness Lodge, and though rooms are still being completed, all guests booking Boulder Ridge now will get an updated room. We actually got to stay in a one-bedroom villa, and we gave you a tour of it. There's a photo tour on our site and also a video tour right here on our channel for you to enjoy. Disney's Port Orleans Riverside Resort is a moderate resort option at Walt Disney World that many guests love for its southern charm. It's located along the Sasagula River with boat access to both Disney Springs and its sister resort, Port Orleans French Quarter. You can join us as we take a tour of a fifth sleeper room in Alligator Bayou, a section of the resort. That video tour available, again, right here on the channel, photo tour on our website. Walt Disney Company CEO Bob Iger and Disney Parks Experiences and Products Chairman Josh D'Amaro will be visiting Disneyland Paris this week, reportedly on March 16th, the 21st anniversary of the Walt Disney Studios Park. Of course, the Studios Park is the second gate of Disneyland Paris after their own Disneyland Park. Disneyland Paris has been celebrating the first park's 30th anniversary for the past year now. It is possible that with their visit, Iger and D'Amaro will approve or even announce the third theme land meant to be included in the expansion of Walt Disney Studios, but this is just speculation at this time. Of course, originally that third land was supposed to be a version of Star Wars Galaxy's Edge that was reportedly canceled, and then Disney pretty much came out and admitted that it was canceled, and there has been speculation as to if that might be Pandora, if it might be Lion King, if it will be something else. It's unknown at this time, but we do know, obviously, Avengers Campus has already opened as part of that expansion of the park. Arendelle, the World of Frozen, is coming in the near future. Near future, I mean, still a couple years away. And as well, a flat ride called the Tangled Round Ride, a spinner based on the 2010 animated film, is coming along with a new restaurant, a new entrance to Toy Story Playland, English Gardens area, and lots of other new stuff coming to the park. But we're still waiting to find out what that third land will be. The question is, will we find out during this visit from Iger and D'Amaro? Either way, this is kind of a big deal that they're visiting. It's a big time for Paris. 30th has been a great event for them. They're turning profit. Attendance is up. Spending is up. And it's absolutely deserved. Disneyland Paris, one of my favorite places on earth. I love it dearly. And I'm excited that Disney management is taking such an active interest in its future success now. That's so nice to see. In the upcoming month, Daniel Delcourt will resign as the Chief Operating Officer or COO of Disneyland Paris, and his responsibilities will be taken over by Christophe Murphy. After the Disneyland Paris 30th Anniversary Grand Finale festivities on April 12, 2023, Delcourt will depart shortly thereafter. And on April 25th, Christophe Murphy, who previously served as the Vice President of Operations at Walt Disney Attractions Japan, will take over as COO. Delcourt has been the COO in Paris for the last 8 years. He's been with the resort on and off for nearly the last 25. Christophe Murphy has been with the Walt Disney Company for the last 32 years. Prior to his appointment as Vice President of Operations in Japan, Murphy has quite a history with Disneyland Paris. According to LinkedIn, Murphy has held various positions, including Vice President of Travel Operations, Digital and CRM, Director of Travel Operations for the Sales and Marketing Division, Director of Production and Entertainment Operations and Costuming Operations, Director of Food Park Operations, Director of Operations of Disney Village, Operations Manager at Hotel New York, and Manager of Disneyland Paris Security Operations, among other roles. So this, Christoph has had, man, he's been the manager of nearly every division at Disneyland Paris, so obviously they will be in very good hands. For the absolute latest on these stories and all that didn't make it into today's show, be sure to check WDWNT.com and follow us on your favorite social media platforms. You can support the entire team behind this show and others by joining the WDWNT Inner Globe Society at patreon.com/WDWNT. Get access to exclusive content, discounted show and event tickets, and more. Special shout out to all of our WIGS members who make this show happen every week. For the worldwide leader in Disney Parks news, this is Tom Corliss saying, enjoy the rest of your today. Have a great, big, beautiful tomorrow.